verses 20 through 22. And I'm going to read 19 through 26 just to have all the context, or more context, I should say. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to just come before you, that we can look into your word and see what it is that you have to communicate with us, and more importantly, even as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able afterward to pray together, to bring our requests to you in a time of unity and just being together and making those requests known. We do pray that everything that is said here tonight would be of truth and it would be clear. And again, we're humbled yet thankful for this opportunity, and we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So the reason I read the whole passage, I'm doing three verses tonight. The next few verses are going to be kind of a piggyback. You really could do them all together, I think. But so I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. Although in reading those last few verses, I know there's some that we're going to touch on indirectly tonight. So just know that it all goes together. And of course, we've been in 2 Timothy now, especially chapter 2, for a few weeks. So the main themes, this is a pretty short outline in terms of what I've done. There's two types of vessels, and then there's five components of the honorable type of vessel. So that's what we're going to focus on. I want to start, though, with a little bit of background here. As we just said, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's three verses that I think are important leading into this one to recall what we're called to do and as believers and where we're at. So in verse 1, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So there's a calling there to be strong. In verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So be diligent. So we're to be strong and diligent. And then what we covered last week, what Daniel covered in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So we know that God stands true. His word stands true, and he stands true. He stands firm. So we're to be strong, we're to study, and trust God's faithfulness. So the background there, again, a little bit, there's false teachers creeping in, right? Which, by the way, if we look back at Acts 20 in verses 29 and 30, Paul predicted this would happen. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So this is important for what we're looking at, because it talks about those two types of vessels. There's gold and silver and earth and clay, honor, dishonor. it's important to know who those vessels are and what that represents. So he knew that this was going to happen, and here's a letter to Timothy to kind of combat that. And last week, even Daniel mentioned, you know, he mentioned two main defenses that we have. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word. So as we look at this Word, we're going to see what that defense is. We're going to see that again tonight as a defense. And it also said at the close of verse 19, the Lord knows those who are His. It says that in verse 19. The Lord knows those who are His. Well, that also goes both ways. From John 8:47, he that is of God hears God's words. You therefore, and this is when he was saying, you're of your father the devil, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So we're going to look at both those aspects tonight. There's those who hear, those who don't hear, those who God knows, and those who are not known by him. So looking at our passage now, verse 20, there's two types of vessels, right? And before we get to those vessels, let's look at the beginning of this verse. You know, my version starts with, but in a great house. There's some that say now, and some just start out in a great house. All right, maybe it means nothing, but I think the idea is there, it's like a moreover. So in addition to what I've just said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. So it's significant, and it's a connection to the prior passage. And again, it also refers to this great house, large house. And by the way, the word but, I did look at, not because I can fluently read Spanish, but just because it was one of the things that, one of the versions that came up, it did say pero at the beginning, or however you say it in Spanish. So that means but. So it starts but. But anyway, it refers to this larger great house. So that might indicate wealth, right? There's a large house, somebody has wealth, noteworthy of keeping vessels in. And it likely refers to the church, in the sense that he's using this. Then we finally get to the idea of the vessels here. So there's two types of vessels, two clear types with two clear results. So let's first look at the word. We're going to look at the word vessel, what it means, and who each of these represent, and how the honorable can remain that way. So one key thing here to notice, after it says, but in a great house, it says there are not only vessels of gold and silver. So we're starting with the gold and silver. We're starting with the idea, yeah, there are gold and silver vessels, but not only that, we have more. So they're the key, they're the focus, but not only them, there's more. So that's something to notice. So it further supports the idea of this house being the church. So there's two kinds of vessels. So the definition of this word in the Greek is actually used of domestic implements, utensils, furnishings. Think of like serving vessels, if you will. And my thought goes to like when you have guests over, right? Everybody has plates and cups that they use every day. And then there's the plates and cups that you use when you have certain people or any visitor really over. So it's the idea of your best china maybe. And they're displayed or used with honor, vessels of honor, those who would call that. And it was common for the Greeks to use this as a metaphor for body. So the vessel that houses our souls is our body. So they would typically use the word vessel for that. It's also used in Scripture for a chosen instrument, a man of quality, and negatively as well as an assistant in accomplishing an evil deed. When we read in Acts 9 about Paul or Saul's conversion, the Lord says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So Paul's a chosen vessel of the Lord, or to the Lord. So in that sense, it's chosen. And then also in Romans 9, 21 through 23, Paul uses again this term to show God's sovereignty over vessels, whatever they may be. Has not the potter power over the clay? So again, that being the vessel, the clay. Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, similar to what we're talking about here. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared for glory? So there's different types of vessels. And the bottom line is the Lord is sovereign over those vessels, and we are the vessels. He's the potter, we are the clay. All Christians, everyone in here, if you're a professing believer, should have a desire to be and strive our best to be vessels of honor. We want to be vessels of honor. I mean, I certainly don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. So then, who are these vessels of dishonor? Let's talk about that first. Because it does say in verse 21, we'll get to it in more detail in a minute, but it does say, therefore, if anyone cleanses or purges himself from the latter being those vessels of dishonor, we're called to then purge ourselves from them in verse 21. So there's a couple different thoughts, and I think the bottom line, I'm going to look at a few passages to see the differences here, but I think the bottom line is anyone in the church, whether it's a true professing believer, somebody who's deceived and is professing faith but doesn't have it, anyone who is in the church can be that vessel of dishonor. Let's just look at a couple. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So that's a call to restore, but be careful. So that, to me, refers to other believers, and I think would certainly apply here. It's somebody who needs that restoration, that coming alongside. But we're also told in many passages, I'm going to eventually get to 1 Corinthians 5, but looking at like Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So whether we are true believers or not, if we're hanging out with fools or hanging out with those dishonorable people, there will be an influence there. Bad company corrupts good morals. There's all kinds of verses. And the example of Scripture, or of leaven within Scripture, and I have a verse later on specifically about this, but leaven means influence. Now, most of the time we read it in Scripture, almost all the time, it's a negative influence. But it means influence. So that influence of the dishonorable certainly is not something that we want. So in that sense, 1 Corinthians 5 says this, and I'm reading from verses 9 through 13. And Paul is referring to those in the church. And as I said, I think, you know, either or both believers who are not living by the faith, those who are deceived and not truly converted. I write to you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you need go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, do not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So it says to put away that wicked person, and it clearly says here that he's talking about those within. I've written to you to not keep company of any man that is called a brother. be one of those. So we're called to put those out. We're called to purge, just like here. Purge or cleanse yourselves from this person of dishonor. So then back to the honorable, how are we to be honorable vessels? And in all the steps below that I'm about to talk about, just a reminder, as we've been talking, it's all of Christ. There's nothing of us, right? If we're called to be righteous, we can't do that. We can't do that on our own. He will declare us righteous. We can strive to be all these things. But we have not, the heart needs to be changed first. And, you know, there's talking about these false prophets, the passage, I think, in Matthew, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So the tree, the heart, the source has to be good. The change has to come internally. The fruit will be a sign of that and will show us that. Matthew Henry actually has a pretty good quote about this passage. You could read it at any point in this, I guess. But he says, the exciting of our graces will be the extinguishing of our corruptions. So we get excited about corruption and sin and those things that are pleasurable. Well, if we're excited about our graces, then they'll extinguish our corruptions. And that's what we're called here to do as we look through these. So again, the question is, how can we be honorable vessels? Well, if we look back to our passage, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, and here's the list. And again, it goes on into the next few verses that we're not going to look at tonight, but therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. So the first step then is to cleanse yourself from the vessels of dishonor. And then secondly, be sanctified. So sanctified and useful, the third one, useful for the master. And the next one, prepared for every good work. And then the final one in our passage is going to be, and we'll go back through these, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you can see just from the descriptions here and going back to what we're saying about honorable and dishonorable, just as a quick overview, those were to do it with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, other honorable vessels. That's who we're called to do all these things with, because only the honorable vessels will do that. Those other things too, that list is very similar to the fruit of the Spirit, right? Not as lengthy, of course, but righteousness, faith, love, peace. So these are the things we're called to do. So back to the first one. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. So the idea here of purging or cleansing, again, back to our 1 Corinthians 5 passage, a couple verses right before that, it said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So in that case, the example of leaven is bad, and we're to purge it. It's an influence, it's a bad influence. Purge it, get rid of it. The next part then is to be sanctified. It simply says sanctified. I think Daniel touched on the definitions last week, sanctified and glorified. So sanctified then being holy, set apart, it's separation, right? And the separation, by the way, is for the dishonorable vessels' benefit as well as our own. And even again, I don't want to touch these last few verses, so I'm going to go to a different passage. But even in that last verse in 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. That's the benefit of doing this. It's for us to be separate But it also benefits in 2 Thessalonians 3:14. It says, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." So that's a call to him, a sign to him, to, hey, this is, you're not doing what you're called to do as a believer. We're going to have no part of you. We're purging you out. And hopefully it results in repentance and faith. So this sanctification, obviously, it's a condition, a position, if you will, but also a lifelong process. And again, the terms last week were sanctified until we're glorified, and we're being sanctified. Again, thinking of, I always think of Colossians 3 here, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, and covetousness," which is idolatry. So in the end, it's all idolatry. So all these things are idolatry, because you're not worshiping Christ the way you should. So in all of this, in the sanctification, we're called to set apart for God and from sin, just like we're going to get to flee and pursue. In repentance, when you turn from one to the other. So we're set apart for God, we're set apart from sin. And to keep the picture of the honorable and dishonorable vessels, I don't have anything as disgusting as a gangrene story, but I do have, if you think about honorable and dishonorable vessels, you wouldn't serve your guests dinner on the same plate you put garbage and waste on, right? Even if you're washing it, you're not going to do that. We have different vessels that we use. So we're called to keep these things set apart and separate. So that's the idea then of being sanctified. And then useful to the master. There's really not a whole lot to say here other than, we have a perfect master. We have a master of this great house, and we're called to be useful to him. So he's the master of the house, he's a master of the vessels. And we're called to be prepared for every good work. And I think that has a similar idea to sanctify, right? In the terms of being prepared. You're prepared once you're saved. You're sanctified once you're saved, but then it's a process. So the process continues throughout salvation. So we should simply just be ready and willing and eager. I know if you have kids, and if your kids, I hope you're listening, the obedience and that full submission and obedience thing, there's two different things there. Okay, great, you did what I asked, but you were not willing and eager to do what I asked. So that is an attitude. That is something internal that we have to work on. We should be prepared to do that. We should be willing and eager as well as ready. I want to kind of close with the last verse, to talk about fleeing, pursuing, as well as with who we're called to do it with. So fleeing and pursuing, I don't know how many years ago this was, but Dean preached and preached Psalm 34, referred to it, but 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. That's what we're called to do. And that's what it says here. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue those lists of good things. So there's a fleeing and a pursuing. And in a sense here, when we think about, when I mentioned leaven, the good leaven or the good influence, as we pursue this with other believers, in Hebrews it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We should have that kind of influence. That should be the influence, to provoke unto love and good works. So the word flee, just to start with that, it's a word where we get fugitive from. So if you think about a fugitive, they're constantly on the run, right? There's no stopping. The fugitive doesn't stop because he's going to be constantly pursued on the other end. So he is constantly running. It literally means to run away from. Escape is one of the ideas. So what are we to run away from? What are we to escape? It says youthful lust. Now the youthful, actually I found this hard to believe, but according to Strong's, it's the only time this exact word for youthful is used in Scripture. So It just has the idea simply, there's a couple different things, but, you know, Timothy's much younger than Paul, so it has that idea. Also, so younger by birth and younger than now. So thinking of things, you know, that were before now. When you were younger than you were today, there were certain things that tempted you probably more than others. I think we can all attest, though, that there's certain, it says youthful lust. I mean, there's a lot of lusts that have nothing to do with age. So it's just our sinful nature. And we combat that with God's word, as we've been talking about. And real quick from Psalm 119:9, we're all familiar with it, but I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to read it. 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So we have to take heed according to the word. That's how we flee these youthful lusts. So then, what's the other side of that? Well, we're fleeing something, so we should then also be pursuing something, which it does say. We must pursue. It says, but pursue. And that's, it's the opposite. It's to run after something. So instead of running from something, you're running to something. You're running after it. You're chasing it. And actually, the one definition I saw, it said to pursue in a hostile manner. So I always like when there's good commands that have those maybe harsher words, because it's a violent good thing. And then, you know, as we read on Sundays before service, Dean just read Sunday from Matthew 23, the series of woes. In Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26, it says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." So again, going back to that idea, it's got to be the cleanness on the inside before we can get to the outside and work on the outside. But with that same idea here, and thinking about these words of what we're to pursue, it's righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So that idea there is the righteousness. We have to be cleansed from within and following his word. Faith is really just faithfulness. That's what it is. Love is the word here for agape love. And it focuses on the needs of others. You love according to the needs of others. It's not the attractiveness of the one you're loving, but it's their need. You're trying to meet their need. You're not being selfish. You're meeting their need, and it doesn't matter who they are in terms of whether they quote-unquote deserve it or not. And then the word peace is where we get serenity, and it doesn't mean the absence of trouble or the absence of conflict, but it has to do with harmony in relationships. And in the upper room, Christ says it, that he says, you know, my peace be with you. So that's the peace that we want, the peace of harmony in a relationship with him. So we're to do all this, but it goes even further here, and it closes the verse with, we're to do it with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So again, the idea of the honorable vessel. We're called to get rid of the bad leaven, to get rid of the things that influence us in a negative way. But we're called to be with those who are of a pure heart. And there's a couple passages here that just talk about this very thing of a pure heart and calling out to the Lord. So in Acts 2, verse 21, I'll read that one first. And these are just all just to reiterate and emphasize the matter, but Acts 2, verse 21. "It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So those who call on the name of the Lord, those who call on the Lord with a pure heart, so it's actual calling on the Lord, a true repentance. So we look at Romans 10, same thing. Romans 10, verses 12 through 14. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So they have to call on the name of the Lord. We know that. We call upon the name of the Lord. So those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart are those that we want to serve with. And the final one is Paul in his introduction in 1 Corinthians. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenesis, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're to pursue these things. We're to flee our youthful lust. We're to purge ourselves from dishonorable vessels. And we're called then, in contrast to that, to be sanctified, to be useful, to be prepared, and to be to pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. And we do it in unity with other believers, those with a pure heart. Thank you.